This is Progressive Radio, a weekly conversation hosted by Matthew Rothschild, editor of The Progressive Magazine, a leading voice for peace and social justice. For more information about Progressive Radio or The Progressive Magazine, log on to our website at progressive.org.
I'm Matt Rothschild, and welcome to Progressive Radio, which you can also download over at our website, progressive.org. Today, it's a real pleasure for me to have right here with me Ellen Spiro, the co-director of what I believe to be this year's most powerful and important film entitled Body of War. Prior to this, Spiro received an Emmy Award for her film, Are the Kids All Right? Ellen Spiro, welcome to Progressive Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit about your background and how you got into filmmaking.
Well, I've been making documentaries for a while, and I've always had an ear for stories, good stories, I think, you know, for a very long time. And when I got politically involved, college years, and started making films in as a kind of artistic practice, the two came together with my first film called Diana's Here We Go, and I was involved in AIDS activism and sex education. And then I met this woman who was a hairdresser who did a safe sex education and a safe sex Tupperware parties out of her beauty salon in South Carolina. And it was extremely innovative education for the time, 1989. And
how'd you meet her?
It was a great story coming together with, you know, the politics of the day. I was involved with AIDS activism and met her on a trip to South Carolina, her beauty salon was kind of in the middle of the black community in South Carolina, and I was there with ACT UP.
And was she known as this innovative AIDS education person?
No, she had gotten her involved because she was talking to her clients, because that's what hairdressers do. They're like priests, and people confess their most intimate secrets. So she was hearing about everybody's, you know, sexual escapades and realized how unsafe they were because she just started reading about AIDS and how it gets transmitted. So she realized she had to do something to educate her clients. So she just started by handing out condoms in the beauty salon. She actually contacted ACT UP, the AIDS activist group in New York at the time, to come and do a protest down there because they were quarantining people with AIDS. So what she was doing in her beauty salon wasn't public knowledge. I just talked to her at this event and found out and thought, hey, I need to see what you're doing. Visited the salon and ended up making my first documentary from the story simply because the documentary form was the best way to tell the story.
And was she a fascinating person? Were you allowed to also get some of her customers? I didn't see the movie, I'm afraid.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was a really fun, funny piece, and it had quite a life in the late 80s, early 90s. That's how I got started.
Ellen Spiro, tell me a little bit about Are the Kids All Right, this prize-winning movie you did. Other ones won prizes, too.
Yeah, well, I've been making films for many years now, and Are the Kids All Right, I made in collaboration with Karen Bernstein, and it was about the breakdown of the mental health care system for children. And we focused on the state of Texas because that's where we were at the time and because it was in such shambles. And the film helped sort of put a face on the issues and just showed personal stories of people who were going through not being able to get the treatment that they needed for their kids.
It's gotten so bad in some places. At the Progressive, we had our reporter, Anne Marie Cusack, say that some parents, to get mental health treatment for their kids, actually had them incarcerated, which I thought was pretty appalling.
That was going on a lot in Texas. In fact, we went to this facility that was sort of a juvenile detention center where the kids were treated like prisoners, and they had 30-foot-high fences with barbed wire, and the kids were made to wear orange prison-type uniforms, and they were all mentally ill, every single one that we met.
And it's not like in many prison facilities the mental health care is real good either, for that matter.
Well, for adults, yeah. And so if you look at it as it relates to children, it's particularly insidious.
That's gruesome. Well, tell me a little bit about Body of War and how you got hooked into this. How'd you meet up with Phil Donahue, first of all?
met up with Phil Donahue through a mentor of mine named Dee Dee Halleck, who I'd known for years. And she met up with Phil after the Media Reform Conference on an airplane.
Which
and
Media Reform Conference was this? This is the Nichols McChesney one, but was this Memphis maybe? I don't know. Could have been Madison.
I don't remember.
It was one of them.
I wasn't there, but they were. And I guess I was there in spirit because my name came up in this conversation, and next thing I knew, Phil Donahue was calling on the phone. And, you know, he was a big figure in my childhood. I saw, you know, my first gay person that wasn't a stereotype on his show. And I remember just feeling my mind expanding as I watched his show in the boondocks of Virginia. And, you know, thinking that he was sort of part of our family because he was in our living room all the time. So he calls me on the phone, and it was a pretty strange experience. I almost hung up on him because I thought it was a crank caller. And he said, no, don't hang up. So then we just got to talking about his idea, which was the story of Thomas Young, who is the Ron Kovic of this generation, Ron Kovic, who they made Born on the 4th of July, about, you know, Thomas came home from Iraq, became an anti-war activist, paralyzed from the chest down. And it was an amazing film to work on because Thomas was such a great character. And we didn't really know that at first. We didn't really know what was going to happen. But he really came out of his shell and just made a full appearance as who he is in this film.
I'm speaking with Ellen Spiro. She's the co-director of Body of War. She and Phil Donahue put together this anti-war film that I can't recommend highly enough. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm the editor at the Progressive Magazine. This is Progressive Radio. One of the things that is astonishing about this film, and there are many, is how intimate it is and how they, which is to say Thomas Young, his mom, who seems to be a wonderful person in her own right, and his wife, they just gave you incredible access, ultimately. How did you do that? How did you get their trust so that you could get in so close in some very personal discussions?
Time. Well, you know, time. Getting to know people with the camera turned off is really important in documentary filmmaking. You don't just walk in and start filming. And I spent a lot of time with them and, you know, earned their trust, kind of became like part of the family. And then, you know, we had some very frank discussions about some of the things that we were going to film. And at a certain point, Thomas realized that he had nothing to be ashamed of, that this was important for people to understand what his life was like, that if you just show this pretty picture of a guy in a wheelchair, there's all this invisible reality. And so Thomas saw it as a political act to show the invisible. And we tried to do it in a way that was funny and interesting for the viewer and not clinical or sterile or depressing.
I remember the scene with his mom trying to put the catheter in there, and that was so that he could urinate and or finish urinating. And so that was one of the really intimate moments. And then there's a whole conversation about how he can't have an erection that I was amazed that he and his wife would speak so bluntly about that. Did that take a number of takes, or you just did that?
Well, you don't really do second takes in documentary. But, you know, with Thomas, it's sort of whenever I turn the camera on, he'd say something funny or do something, you know. And when it's described as, you know, a mother changing her son's catheter, or you know, him talking about his erectile dysfunction issues, it sounds very clinical. But in fact, their sense of humor, you know, transcended any potential sort of looking at them as some kind of specimen. You know, they're making fun of the situation, and the audience kind of laughs, but in an uncomfortable way. You know, Thomas talks about awakening the monster when he's talking about the erectile cures, erectile dysfunction cures, and just, you know, this is their life. So the way they deal with it is the way that makes them happiest, which is to be funny and not take things too seriously.
What, looking at the film now that it's completed, what is the most emotional tugging part for you?
There's a scene that makes me cry every time, and it's the mothers in Washington, D.C., mothers who've lost children in the Iraq War. And Thomas pulls up in his wheelchair. Thomas, who escaped death by probably less than a millimeter because of where the bullet went, paralyzed him but didn't kill him. And these mothers who've lost their children see Thomas, and they just start touching him and reaching out. And his mother is describing what's going on, and she's talking about how their sons didn't come back and their daughters didn't come back, and Thomas somehow is a living representation of their children. And it's a pretty heartbreaking moment.
It sure is. I was crying at that moment too, but that was about the fifth or sixth time for me as I was watching it alone on DVD at my office at the Progressive Magazine. I'm speaking with Ellen Spiro, the co-director of Body of War, along with Phil Donahue. She made this incredible movie about one Iraqi war vet, Thomas Young, paralyzed from the chest down, and about his mother and his wife. And then there's a whole political side, too, about the legislators who endorsed this war. That footage must have been a little easier to get and to edit and put together, though. It's an amazingly well-edited movie because you see these, first of all, the Democrats who fronted for the war, and then the Republicans reciting one little line after another, lie of the day from the Republicans, their talking points. Did you do a lot of that research work?
Actually, it was I was focused mostly on telling the story of Thomas and his family. And it was Phil Donahue himself who looked at every second of that C-SPAN footage, and he actually watched it all as it was happening. And it's something that very few people watched in its entirety, you know, the argument for invading and going to war. And he saw certain patterns in it because he did watch it in its entirety, and he saw these talking points and this sort of repetition that you wouldn't see if you just tuned in for a half hour here or a half hour there. So the way that he edited it was kind of the way he saw it in his mind when he was watching it, which was, you know, it's truly revealing of the scripted nature and the kind of repetitious lines that were selling points to the American people to get into the war.
Yeah, if you want to review how the politicians behaved in the lead-up to the war, not just Bush, but Democrats who went along for the ride and Republicans who lied through their teeth, Body of War is a great place to start. Tell me about filming some of the scenes. What were the hardest scenes to film?
Oh, I think the hardest scene was I went on the Army base as part of the family because media wasn't allowed. But they had made me part of the family at this point and called me Aunt Ellen. So Thomas's mom actually signed me in as Aunt Ellen, and that's how I got on the Army base. When they were saying goodbye to Thomas's brother, which is another incredible part of the story, is that after Thomas comes home paralyzed, his brother gets deployed. And I knew I had to be there for it. So I took a very small camera in my pocketbook and went in with the family as part of the family and filmed the soldiers saying goodbye and filmed Thomas and his mom saying goodbye to Nathan, Thomas's little brother, who since then got redeployed and was stop lost and is back in Iraq right now. And it's a heartbreaking scene watching little kids saying goodbye to their daddies and their mommies. And it was interesting because I didn't get permission while I shot that scene for the people that were in it because it was so personal. I wasn't going to interrupt people and say, hey, can you sign this? So afterwards, we had to go back to the people, and we did it by, you know, getting the still images off the frame. And Nathan giving those images to his superior, and that guy willingly asking these soldiers to participate in this film, and they knew what the film was about. They all signed off and gave their permission so that we were able to use their faces.
So you couldn't have used it otherwise.
In that scene. Not without permission, no.
And how is Nathan reacting to the war right now? I mean, before he left, according to the movie body of war, he seemed, you know, pretty macho about the whole thing. And I'm wondering if he is now shares his brother's view of the war.
He was gung-ho about the war, and Thomas was gung-ho against it. And Nathan is not gung-ho against it, but let's just say he's lost his passion for it and can't wait to get home and doesn't want to go back. But he's not, you know, he hasn't had an ideological shift of major proportions.
And what about the dad? The dad was a gung-ho right-winger, too.
Dad, gung-ho right-winger. And I love this dad. I think it might be the only gung-ho right-winger that I've ever loved. And the reason I love him is because he can be with his wife, who's become a very fervent anti-war activist, and his stepson, Thomas. And he's a very loving guy. And so he's okay existing in this atmosphere where no one agrees with him. But, you know, he came around also because when we first started filming, he wanted nothing to do with it, which is why he doesn't have a large role in the film. He wouldn't be in the film for a real long time.
Until, but you won his trust, too.
Yeah, eventually, you know, you hang out long enough and it transcends the political affiliation. So he eventually came around to being in the film.
Now, what about Thomas's wife, Bree? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you want me to spoil part of the movie on this, but what is she? Describe her for me.
Bree's a very optimistic person who loved Thomas very much and decided that she would be able to take care of him, his, you know, whatever he needed in this marriage. And when it got down to the marriage itself, things got rocky because there were so many things to deal with for both Thomas and for his young wife, that young marriages are stressful enough. You add major challenges to it. And I think it was a little too much. So the marriage broke up.
And are they still in touch, by the way?
Don't think so. No, not a whole lot. You know, it's funny because this film just, you know, followed this one man's life. And in the process, it illuminated all the kind of issues and statistics that you read about in the newspaper, but in a human way. I mean, you read about couples and families breaking up mostly because soldiers come home with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and have all kinds of emotional issues, and it, you know, breaks up families. So Thomas's story is no different than the rest of them. It wasn't just PTSD, though he had that as well, but way too many pressures for a young couple to handle.
And you see the arc of that. I mean, you start early on with the wedding, and so you go from the wedding to the split up.
Yeah.
And it is kind of wrenching when you get to the split up, I have to say. But, you know, your heart goes out to Bree, too, because you see her doing a lot of the work that just is exhausting. And then she says, you know, we've had sex 5 times or fewer than I can count on one hand, I think is the way she put it.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Tell me about the mom.
Kathy is Thomas's mom, an amazing mother. I mean, she's kind of the reason that this whole story got told, because when Thomas came home from Iraq paralyzed, he was in Walter Reed Army Hospital. She was there with him. And she said to him, "You're a war hero. You're in Washington, D.C. Who do you want to talk to?" And Ralph Nader came out of his mouth because he was the only presidential candidate at that time in 04 who was against the war. And Thomas's mom got hold of Ralph Nader. And Phil Donahue was visiting Ralph Nader that day. And Ralph said, Phil, you want to come along? And he said, sure. And they both show up in Walter Reed. Afterwards, you know, Phil wasn't looking at this as any kind of a creative project, but he just couldn't stop thinking about Thomas. Even though Thomas was all drugged up on painkillers and morphine and Lord knows what else, Phil had an intuition about this kid and wanted to tell his story, and at first thought of a book. And then he met Dee Dee Hallock, who said, why not a documentary? And
how is Thomas doing right now?
Thomas had a setback a couple of months ago. He went to the VA complaining of a numb arm. And the VA sent him home with pain medicine. Well, any first-year medical student knows that, especially dealing with paralyzed people, that can be a sign of a blood clot, numbness. Sure enough, Thomas had a blood clot. And because it wasn't treated properly, it moved in his body and went into his lung. And in the middle of the night, he had a pulmonary embolism, which put him into a coma after 7 hours of not being able to breathe properly. So Thomas was in his second coma of his life. The first one was after he got shot. And nobody knew if he was going to live or die, or if he would be permanently and seriously brain damaged. Well, in true Thomas fashion, he came back. And it was a long struggle, and he's still working on it. He's actually in the Rehabilitation Institute in Chicago as we speak, and will be there until he gets fully recovered. His brain is in great shape, and his humor is all there. And I was there when he came to, out of this kind of strange place where he was.
Were you filming again?
I was not filming. I was just visiting. Our documentary is completed, although there is another something I want to shoot. But I was just there as a friend, and he came out, and when he recognized me, he said something that made me instantly realize that he was going to be okay.
What did he say?
Oh, he cracked a joke that was a really inside joke that required some good memory, because I taught him some Yiddish words. And Thomas Young always wanted to learn some new Yiddish words whenever I saw him. One of the words I taught him was meshugana. So when he came out of
which means crazy.
Yeah. So when he came out of this coma, I told him how happy I was that he was back. And I said, where have you been? It's such a mysterious thing, you know, when the brain shuts down like that. And he looked up at me and he said, meshugana. And then he said, on a train to meshugana. So he went on some kind of strange brain trip for a couple of weeks.
That is a line, on a train to meshugana. Should be a title of a short story or something.
Well, the first thing that came back for him was actually his musical memory. And he's a big music fan. And as you know, he put together an album that went along with Body of War, the film, and it's called Body of War, but it is a music album, selections chosen by Thomas. So before he could speak, his mom was playing him his iPod, and he started singing along the lyrics. And one of the songs was that he loves is, strangely enough, too, the lyrics are, I'm drunk on a train to Chicago, and I feel all right. Well, he ended up going to Chicago from Kansas City, and that was one of the first songs he was singing, and then he changed it for me to I'm drunk on a train to meshugana.
I'm speaking with Ellen Spiro. She's co-director of Body of War, this movie about this Iraq war vet, Thomas Young, that she did with Phil Donahue. And it's a film that I can't recommend too highly, because it is just, or highly enough, because it is just an extraordinary movie, emotionally and politically. And I think everyone should see it and share it with people. There should be little film parties in people's living rooms and at theaters, if you can get your theater to play it. You also there's a scene in there as well at Dianne Feinstein's office, Ellen, and I don't think you were invited in there either.
I was not invited. I don't know if Phil told you the story, but we were in Washington, D.C., And it was me and Phil and our sound guy and Thomas and his mom. And there were a group of activists, including Thomas and his mom, that had a meeting with Dianne Feinstein. She didn't end up showing up for the meeting. Her next in command showed up. And Phil, you know, walked in and they blocked him and said, "You can't come in here." And then our sound guy walked in and they blocked him and said, "You can't come in here." While they were messing around with Phil and my sound guy, I walked in, you know, camera in the purse, sat down right next to this guy. And I pulled out my camera and he saw it and he said, "You're not allowed to film in here." And at that point, I guess I learned something important in my civil disobedience days, in my activist years. I just wasn't going to move, and I refused to leave and filmed this encounter where this guy really just kind of talked the talk and indicated that Dianne Feinstein wasn't really interested in ending the war or bringing the troops home. So it was a revealing scene. But getting back to Thomas and where he is now, I just wanted to say that he's been receiving tons of cards and letters from people encouraging him. And if you've seen the film or if you want to check out, there's clips on the internet. You can go to the Bill Moyers website, and there's some significant clips that you can look at from the show that Bill Moyers did. But if you want to send Thomas a card or a letter, you can just address it to Thomas Young at the Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago, and it'll get to him with the address, which is 345 Superior Street. And that's an easy Google if you didn't write that down.
And that's Thomas without an H, by the way, right?
Thomas without an H.
Just that's for our print journalism people.
And it's not Tomas, it's Thomas without an H.
What is next for you?
That's a good question. I am interested in doing some work for some other people right now. I do have my own projects. But they're not my priority at the moment. I just met somebody who's been making a film about Ron Kovic for 20 years and has had every major amazing cinematographer in the world shooting for her on 16mm. And I want to try to help her get that film made and hopefully have a scene in it near the end where Ron Kovic and Thomas meet. Ron is planning to come and visit Thomas in Chicago, so I hope to be there to film that when it happens.
That would be something, putting those two wars and the catastrophes that they have wreaked on people's lives and then the ability of people to survive and move on, which is part of the inspiring nature of this incredible film called Body of War. Ellen Spiro has been my guest today on Progressive Radio. She's the co-director with Phil Donahue of Body of War. Ellen Spiro, thanks so much for being my guest.
Thank you so much for having me.
What is a website people can go to get information on Body of War?
Very easy to remember, bodyofwar.com. And our DVD is coming out really soon. And actually, it's out now. I think yesterday it wasn't out, but today it is. And bodyofwar.com has all the info.
And it's great even at DVD. I watched it that way last night.
Thank you.
Today's program is available online at progressive.org. You can also write to us at 409 East Main Street, Madison, Wisconsin, 53703. Our music is by Mufa. Progressive Radio is produced by Elizabeth DiNovella and engineered at Audio for the Arts in Madison, Wisconsin.